You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Hello, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera. Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a group that opposes the powerful, increasingly powerful and well-funded homosexual activist movement. We've got part four, the last part of our interview with Pastor Patrick Wooden. Patrick, are you there?
I'm here.
And
how
Patrick,
you doing, Peter?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I want to say hello to your audience, and I'm honored to be here, sir.
Well, thank you. And I'll tell you what, this has been instructive. Since we had got you on our show, of course, the homosexual activists are going ballistic.
Yes.
And I have to laugh. Well, it started out, you know, we went to the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center. You led the press conference there against their so-called hate group politics.
I was rented, you know.
You were rented because
right.
You can't think for yourself.
No.
Because you're stuck on that liberal plantation, Pat.
Right.
And
right.
And I'll tell you what, that started, and then they pegged off of our first interview. Now this is what I don't know what we're going to call this, but right now I'm calling it reflecting.
Right.
You take a movement which is a sin movement. Let's start out with the basics, folks. The homosexual movement is a sin movement. It would be like if there was an organized movement, which I guess there is, but not as organized as the homosexuals. If there was an organized pro-pornography movement, I would say that's a sin movement.
Right.
I would say that the movement to defend and promote abortion, the killing of innocent unborn children, that is also a sin movement. That's an anti-civil rights movement because
right.
we're denying their human right to live.
Right.
So the homosexual movement is a sin movement. So then Patrick Wooden comes on the Americans for Truth radio show, and we've worked together. And you point out that, and people can go back to our first interview, folks, at AmericansForTruth.org. It's all on the archive, down the button on the right, Americans for Truth Hour. And you talk about some of the sad things you've seen that are the result of people giving themselves over to this perversion.
Right.
You know, the facts are that a lifetime of anal sex is not good for the human body.
No, it's not good for the human body.
And so you pointed out that you had this awful case of this man who actually his body, his rectum was so destroyed. And let's have a warning here, folks. This is not a show for kids tonight. This is pre-taped show, folks. Mm-hmm. It's going to air in a couple days. So what they do is they reflect. They say, oh, look at Patrick Wooden. Here's one of the articles from Right Wing Watch, which is a publication of People for the American Way, or they should call it People for the Homosexual Way, because this guy here, his name is Brian Tashman. He's, if anything, he's obsessed about promoting homosexuality. But here's one of the headlines. I like this. Patrick Wooden. Well, now I lost it here. Patrick Wooden has an anal obsession. Here it is. North Carolina's anti-marriage leader, which would be you, Patrick, has an anal obsession.
Wow. Wow. Isn't that funny? The good thing about things like that, Peter, for me, is people who know me know that that's the last obsession that Patrick Wooden has. The attraction to the same sex, the desire for some man's penis or anus. Everyone who knows Patrick Wooden knows that that's not the case. Something like that is almost it is so laughable, and it certainly doesn't warrant even the response that I've given to it at all. And what these guys need to know that when they write articles like this, such as these, for me, it is like a water on a duck's back. It means absolutely nothing.
Well, and obviously the point, this is all Saul Alinsky. And, you know, Newt Gingrich mentioned Saul Alinsky as he's a left-wing activist. And one of the things he did was isolate, demonize, And the whole point is to make Patrick Wooden look like a fool. And so the homosexual movement. Now, let's just be frank, folks. Americans for Truth, we're sort of unique in that we actually write about these things. We actually expose them. We go down to the Folsom Street Fair. We've gone to International Mr. Leather, which is this sadomasochist event in a fancy hotel in Chicago every year. And we just expose these people. One year at International Mr. Leather, there was one of the booths was for it was called Water Boys. It was for men who like to urinate on and in each other. Mm. Now, that is, I would say, another unique contribution of the American homosexual movement. Does that mean that every homosexual man wants to do that? No. The point is, the movement is a sin movement. And you would expect there to be an abundance of perversions associated with a perversion movement.
Right.
And so now you... You talked about, and I should tell our radio guy that our second guest that we want to have on the air, John D.L. Foster, is trying to call. So if you can call him again, we hope to get D.L. Foster from Gay Christian Movement Watch also on the show here. But the fact is, Patrick, that they're just using these weird homosexual things that are nature that are specific to homosexual men. Fisting, another one we talked about, you know, where a man would actually insert his hand and arm up the rectum of another man for sexual pleasure. These are all things that came out of this perversion movement.
Yeah, well, it is what they do. Can I speak to that? When I did the, what's the name of the show that I was on the other day?
Was it the Michelangelo Signorelli show?
Yes.
Who was a homosexual activist?
Yes. After the show, a ex-homosexual got in touch with me and said to me, sir, continue to speak the truth. He says, I was in the lifestyle and I had a friend who had to wear a butt plug. You know, when we bring that up, you know, people go bonkers. He said, because of his incognizance. And he says, of course, my friend is dead now. But my friend told me that his anus, his rectum had been stretched to the point that the only way he could be fulfilled sexually was that he had to find people, homosexuals, who were willing to fist him. And and this person spoke to me who was in it, who was in the lifestyle, and encouraged me to continue on. As a matter of fact, Peter, I have gotten tons of encouragement from practicing homosexuals. I've had homosexuals to say to me, Reverend, we know what you're saying is right. We know what you're saying is true, and we want to encourage you to keep saying it, because even though right now, you know, we're not ready to come out of this, we're not ready to change, but at least we know that if we ever do, we know that there's at least one place that we can go where we will hear the truth. Now, you don't hear from these people. They may not get on the internet. They may not write a comment or anything like that, but they're out there. And again, the new disgrace, the new shame, the thing that gets everybody's dander up is not that they practice these behaviors, that a multitude of homosexual men practice these behaviors, but that we are talking about it. And someone said to me the other day, you know, that you gotta speak the truth in love, and you gotta yep. be loving. But you know, Peter, I've learned that it's not a matter of how we speak the truth, because I know of people who simply disagree with the homosexual agenda, and they are as loving and as soft and as kind in their speech as they can be, and they're still slammed
absolutely.
As bigots, racists, homophobes, and that kind of thing, because the truth is, it is not whether we speak soft or whether, let me rephrase this, it is not whether we disagree in soft tones and lovely speech or whether we disagree by screaming and shouting. Their problem is we disagree with them.
Absolutely.
And that is not allowed.
Exactly.
Disagreement with homosexuals and with homosexuality is not allowed anymore. And we dare to disagree.
Absolutely. And I hear we do now have D.L. Foster on the line.
Oh, he's a great man. Hey, D.L.
Are you there, D.L.?
Good, Good morning, brothers, and
hey,
God bless
man.
You.
How's it going? God bless you, D.L.
Well, D.L. Foster, we've had him on the show before, folks, and you can go back to both the previous interviews with Patrick Wooden and with D.L. Foster at Americans for Truth. Just hit the button on the right side. And I also highly recommend D.L. Foster's website. It's called Gay Christian Movement Watch. He is now the preeminent Christian leader out there who is monitoring this so-called gay Christian movement. The website is gcmwatch.com. D.L., we got a couple minutes before the break here. Talk about your reaction. I was discussing how when just because Patrick Wooden mentioned some perversions associated with this sin movement called gay, they are trying to make a fool out of him for talking about things that are practiced by some homosexual men.
You know, first of all, one of the proudest moments of my ministry life was standing next to Pastor Wooden and the other brothers that were there in Montgomery in front of the Southern Poverty Law Center, speaking truth in love.
Yes, sir.
I was so exhilarated and thankful that these brave, courageous men of God carried on the tradition of prophets who did not care for their own reputation, but cared to speak the truth of God to those who would listen.
Right.
So it's also expected that we would have opposition from people who, and I'm not calling anyone Satan, but certainly energized and used by Satan to further his agenda. And, you know, we will stand as long as God gives us strength against it. And to me, it does not matter what people say or do. Because when we replicate what God has said, you know, I have full confidence that God will back up His own word. That you know, that's the way I feel.
Yes, sir.
Okay, guys, we got 20 seconds left here. Again, we're talking to D.L. Foster, who was in the homosexual lifestyle. He's out of it now, married and kids. And Patrick Wooden from the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, based in Raleigh, North Carolina. We'll be right back after the break. We're talking to two godly men who are not afraid to criticize this sin movement that calls itself gay. Our website is AmericansForTruth.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in part four of our, in the last part of our interview with Patrick Wooden. I know you're going to miss him. It's been something. It's been quite a ride. And the homosexual activists are just they think they've just got. They're so excited. Look at what Brian Tashman. I'm sorry. This might be somebody else. This is Kyle Mantella. I can't pronounce his name. From Right Wing Watch, which is a publication of People for the Homosexual Way. I'm sorry, People for the American Way. The website is Wooden. Chaz Bono is under the influence of the devil. Here's the first sentence. I think we all owe Peter LaBarbera a sincere thanks for bringing Patrick Wooden into his anti-gay activism. There again, Patrick, I brought you in.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. We blacks, we got to be led by the white man. And listen, the truth is, I've been preaching against the sin of homosexuality ever since God called me to preach. I've been in the pastoral ministry for 30 years.
I thought you guys were a couple of rent-a-pastors.
And the state, the comments with regard to Chaz Bono. Listen, you got to be under some kind of influence. You are a born a little girl. You look in the mirror, and everything you look at, all of the evidence, everything says that you're a girl. Right? Everything, no matter her body, everything. And yet there's a voice screaming that despite all evidence, you is in her screaming that I'm a guy. So now she gets old enough. She takes steroids and testosterone, which, by the way, if an athlete takes the testosterone and the steroids and all this, you know, they get put in jail, Barry Bonds and Mark McGuire and all the others, and it seemed like steroids is the worst thing in the world for everyone except Chaz Bono or people who go through gender reassignment. So now the young lady pays to get her body augmented, to get her body destroyed. She, her breasts are removed. Can you think of all the women in this country who has had to have their vasectomies due to cancer and due mm-hmm. to disease, and how mm-hmm. they've had to go through counseling in order to just feel good about themselves mm-hmm. again. And what an ordeal they had to go through versus someone who joyfully gets them removed or whatever the procedure is. I don't know.
I've actually seen that up front at a homosexual conference in Washington,
okay.
D.C.
Okay.
20-something girls with their healthy breasts removed.
No.
Yeah, that's a satanic influence. Let's come out and say it. That is incredible that a person
satanic.
Could do that.
That's satanic. Any man who would pay someone to remove his penis will pay for that. He can't be under the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can't be under the influence of common sense. The average man would rather lose his sight than his genitalia, his penis. And I stand behind what I said about Chaz, and I tell you what, I will not join the charade and begin to refer to a Chaz Bono or anyone else who has changed their sex. I will not join the charade by pretending that I'm talking to a man when I'm talking to a person who was born female.
Yeah,
Could
I interject? And I'll never forget when Piers Morgan, the CNN host, and DL, I want you to comment on this. He ended his interview with Chaz, who's really Chastity Bono. I think he ended it by saying, "You are a very brave man." What do you think about that, DL?
Well, you know, the foolishness and illogical nature of the whole transgender movement just stumps me. It really does. And I've always thought about how the gay movement says they have no choice. You know, they have no choice in how they feel and how they think. The transgender movement is just the opposite. You know, we do have a choice. We want to change. We can't stay the way we are. Mm. And it's such a conflicting vortex of confusion. And we all know God is not the author of confusion.
Right.
I mean, and by deductive reasoning, that only leaves one other personality, individual, if you understand what I'm saying. But I also want to say something real quick, Peter, about this whole notion that myself, Pastor Wooden, and the other African-American brothers and sister that stood with us in Montgomery, somehow, you know, we are lackeys of the white man. You know, what this does, it really highlights the high level of racist arrogance that is in the homosexual movement.
Mm, yes.
Something that I experienced myself when I was a gay man. There were clubs that wouldn't let me in because I was black. There are a lot of white gay men that black men only exist for their Mandingo fantasies.
Right.
And so when someone like myself, Pastor Wooden and the others, don't kowtow to this, you know, the racist arrogance comes out. And
right.
The white gay movement needs to deal with their own latent racism. We've seen that over and over and over again. The other thing that surprises me is that I believe there were only about 12 to 14 of us there in Montgomery. And, you know, the reaction has been explosive. I mean, the same day, it was from coast to coast.
Right.
And listen to this. They ridiculed us because they said, oh, it was only a few of them.
Right.
But look at what 12 to 14 men caused in this country. There had been 30 of us out there.
And you know what? Then they
President
said it
Obama
was.
Obama probably would have been chiming in.
Yeah, they tried to say it was a rally. It wasn't a rally. It was a press conference, DL, and you spoke so eloquently. And by the way, Patrick, I apologize to you that your video is not up. The audio is up on Americans for Truth. DL, your video is up at Americans for Truth.
Well, I tell you what, with what DL had to say, I don't apologize to me. I'm glad they can hear him because the brother is awesome. And he spoke of being proud to stand. It was a proud moment for him. It was one of the proudest ministry moments in my life to stand by D.L. Foster, and when I realized who he was, I made a beeline to him, and I said, "Man, I need to say something to you, mano y mano, look you in the eye, just to meet another Christian warrior a mighty man of God who stands fearlessly and speaks God's truth.
Well, now I want to cut in here, guys, because I'm sensitive. We don't have a lot of time.
Okay.
DL, if you could both one more time, synopsize your comments about the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, again, folks, this is the group, which is a left-wing organization. They did good work against racism in the past, but now they're calling Americans for Truth a hate group, Family Research Council a hate group, not because we oppose homosexuality, but because the way we do it. DL, summarize your comments on that.
Right. My main objective was to say to the Southern Poverty Law Center that they have become a circus of hypocrisy. While they purport to advocate for the rights of those who are oppressed, they have become oppressors. They have ignored real hatred and instead become an organization that really, to me, is after another boogeyman. So they have to create somebody so that will fill their coffers with money. We have been real victims of the hatred of homosexuals, which is, anyone with, two fingers that can hit a keyboard can find it on the internet, the vicious evil and wickedness that has come out of their mouths against us. But to the Southern Poverty Law Center, I guess they're just expressing their opinion. But when we speak, all of a sudden,
DL,
so that's what I was there to say.
And you said it so well, folks. It's on the website. Now, you talk about the vicious hatred, and I want you both to comment on this. We're recording this Thursday, folks. This is February 2nd. It's airing Saturday. Now, today, as this very day, Thursday, February 2nd, Dan Savage has a speaking appearance. He's a homosexual activist. He has a speaking appearance at the University of North Carolina. Now you say to yourself, okay, big deal. Another liberal speaking at a college. It happens all the time. Well, let me tell you something. As we talked about, Patrick, you and I, Dan Savage is one of the most vicious homosexual activists. He is a cyber hater in the extreme. He created Santorum.com, which is a website which is specifically devoted to demonizing Rick Santorum because Rick Santorum criticized homosexuality in a way that Dan Savage didn't like. And so he defined Rick Santorum as the byproduct, this disgusting byproduct of anal sodomy. And here he is being invited all across. He's on the media.
Right.
He's on.
Right.
Now, I don't even think either of you could get an invitation, especially one subsidized by the University of North Carolina. I don't think they would allow you to speak. But if they did, it would not. Talk about that, this double standard where this hate monger is still being invited at a major university.
Well, the Christians are the new censored group. We're the ones who aren't allowed, Christians and conservatives, aren't allowed to have free speech. When we speak, and look at what they've done. They've taken our message around the world. I want to say to those who have written all of the horrible things about us, thank you. Had you kept your mouth shut, perhaps no one would have ever even heard about it. And there is a groundswell. Peter, you know about it. DL, you are aware of it. There are pastors, leaders, people coming out of the closets, thank God for this, who are saying, you know what? We stand with you. There's a website being put together called Sign Me Up that if you're going to call Peter LaBarbera, D.L. Foster, Patrick Wood, if we are the new hate groups in America, well, what about me? Sign me up also. Because there are people who agree with us. But the Christians have got to understand that we're the ones who are being told to be quiet. We're the ones who are being told to soften the tone.
Sit down at the back of the bus.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, I've been called a nigger. DL, Peter, to your audience, I've been called a nigger more times in the last few days than I've ever. And these are by liberal white homosexuals.
Wow. That says, DL, I want to get your comments when we come back. We're talking to DL Foster, who's the creator of Gay Christian Movement Watch. It's a must-view website.
It's a must-view.
GCMWatch.com. And also Patrick Wooden, who's the pastor of Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. We'll be right back. All these interviews are at AmericansForTruth.org, AmericansForTruth.org. We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. Folks, I always forget to ask, but Americans for Truth always needs your donations. You can give online at AmericansForTruth.org. Send us a gift if you support our work. DL, I want to get your reaction. Now, you had talked about, isn't it fair to say, folks, that Dan Savage is objectively guilty of objectively hateful activity? When you create Santorum.com and you define Santorum as the frothy mix of it's just disgusting, the byproduct of anal sodomy, and then you create the website so that intentionally when people go to search for Santorum, they're going to get this. That is an objectively despicable, vile, hateful thing to do. And yet the Southern Poverty Law Center isn't interested in that. Talk about that, DL.
Yeah, that's it's really indicative of the character of these individuals. This individual, Dan Savage.
Dan Savage
is also the creator of the so-called anti-bullying It Gets Better charade, and homosexual kids are still killing themselves after believing his message. I think he should be arrested for propagating this lie to for these kids to have this false promise without any sort of information on what is it anyway. It's really so vile to me that it disturbs me to even talk about it. And when Pastor Wooden made the comment about the gay men wearing diapers, I want to say the man told the truth. You know, they can deny all they want to, but the man told the truth. I personally had a friend who had to wear, maybe they don't want to call it a diaper, whatever they're calling it now, had to protect himself because of his sexual activities. But they act as if this was something that was created out of thin air.
Now, wait a minute. This is back when you were living the gay lifestyle, DL.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us the story. So was he very promiscuous or what? Tell the story.
Yeah, he was a very promiscuous man. I mean, he was my friend, but I just happened to be visiting him one day, and he told me that he was going out that night, but he had to, fix himself up so that he could continue doing what he did. He was the type of person that always went to what is called bathhouses.
Okay.
Anybody doesn't know what a bathhouse is? It's basically a room where men get together and just have nonstop sex with each mm-hmm. other. And this was his, pretty much his daily activity. And it ruined his body to the degree that he had to use these protective diapers for himself. Let's stop with all of the lying and all of the denial. The truth is that the truth of the matter is that Patrick Wooden spoke the truth, and they're trying to pretend like he doesn't know what he's talking about, but I know and they know that he's telling the truth.
Now, Patrick, you got interviewed by Michelangelo Signorelli, who honed in on the phone story. You heard this awful story Michelangelo Signorelli, for those who don't know, is a nasty gay activist. He purports to be a journalist. He specializes in ambush journalism, where he catches somebody and they don't know that he's really a hardcore homosexual activist, and as if he's just interviewing him. But he interviewed Patrick Wooden. Tell us about that.
Well, I tell you, he jumped on the wrong man, though. And you're right, it was ambush, but I appreciate him in that on the Huffington Post, he did write comments concerning the interview, but he posted the actual interview. And I appreciate that, because when people hear the interview, then they see that there was no contradiction. We stood by what we said. I don't apologize for being a Christian. I don't apologize for telling the truth about how men have literally destroyed their bodies through this wicked practice. I was talking to someone last night who works in the medical community, and they were talking about how they have to take persons who are sick and pack them. And I'm talking about packing their rectums with gauze and cotton and stuff to try to plug them up to give a degree of control. Now, it is love that calls people like you, Peter, DL, myself, to speak this truth, to speak of these horrors, so that hopefully one man will say, you know what? I don't think I want to live like that. I don't want to end up that way. Let me do something. Maybe, you know, let me go in a different direction and accept Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, the interviewer, I kept bringing him back to my premise, and that is that marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman. And might I say, he has to be born male and born female. It is the current law in the state of North Carolina, and we're trying to get the constitutional protection for marriage in this state.
And guys, that's such a crucial struggle. And DL, I want you to comment on this as well. Let me just make a point about this. One of the tactics now I'm getting, and I'm on Twitter. You can see my Twitter page. It's just my name, Twitter/my name. DL, you're also on Twitter. And one of the tactics is, oh, everybody does these practices. And they don't want to – the weird thing about the homosexual movement as a sin movement is it doesn't even want to take responsibility for, obviously, the practices that it brought in. I mean, fisting is just so abhorrent, so heinous. I don't think it could be conceived of outside of a perverse movement. But now they're making fun of Patrick Wooden because he pointed out these horrible practices. And I'll tell you what, DL, I've been approached over 20 years doing this by several times by people who work in emergency rooms. And they say, it doesn't mean it's always homosexual. Sometimes maybe it is a perverted heterosexual guy. But homosexuals, this happens.
Right.
Yeah, I have spoken personally to medical individuals who work in the medical field also who have told me horror stories. I was in Kansas City preaching at church several years ago, and I gave a seminar there, and a lady who was a nurse told me afterwards, she said, I really wouldn't be able to tell this publicly, and she began to tell me about a story about a homosexual man that had come in and what they had to do to treat him for the issue that he had. But the other thing is that there's this assumption that because we talk about the sexual practices of homosexuals, that somehow we approve of heterosexuals who do the same practice.
Right.
Let's just tell the truth. We don't.
No.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Perversion is perversion. I don't care if it's my mama doing it. It's still perversion. And the truth of the matter is that it's not our opinion. It's what God says as a standard. So I'm always going to stand with what God says. And if God says it's perversion, it doesn't matter who's doing it.
And a quick side point, you guys.
It's not what side we're on. We're on God's side. Right.
And the fact is that especially in the African-American community, homosexual practice, whether you call yourself gay, if you're a man engaging in secretive homosexual practice, that is helping to bring back disease into the female community. Is that not accurate, DL?
Yeah, sure. I mean, when people, especially so-called download culture, where you have
explain the download.
Yeah, download culture is actually just secret sin. It's really not secret because anytime you do something with someone else, it's not secret. But that's the aura that it takes on. But anytime a man traverses sexually between men and women, yes, you are spreading diseases. And of course, again, I'm not saying that women are blameless and they have no fault in it. But the fact of the matter is that we must address issues head on. You cannot correct anything if you keep denying the fact that you are involved in the very thing that's causing the problem. And this is one of the massive makeover campaigns that the homosexual movement has been engaged in for decades, is to make it seem like what they do is just simply like eating an ice cream cone on Sunday. they just love each other, and that's just about all to it. But as a man who was involved in homosexuality for 11 years, exclusively in homosexual relationships, I can tell you that there is a reason God calls it an abomination, and we should not change the language God gave us. There's a reason why he calls it that way. The average person, of course, is so grossed out, they would never want to hear about it. But take it from me, it is an abomination.
You're so right, Dale. One preacher said in Time magazine, I think it was Bishop T.D. Jakes, he said that the Bible called homosexuality a sin and an abomination. He says, but I called it a brokenness. I don't think any of us have the authority to cross God and to use euphemisms to describe that which God calls sin.
Right.
And that is,
to dumb it down.
This is why I do not participate in calling homosexuals gay. There's nothing gay about the lifestyle. There's nothing gay about the movement. They're not gay. They're not happy, upbeat, nor socially acceptable. They are miserable, and they need deliverance. Now, I know that they're going to, I can just imagine what will be printed as a result of this. But I will say to any minister of the gospel, we have to say what God says. And we say it because we love people and want to see people delivered.
Now, guys, we've got 2 minutes to break, and then we got only 9 minutes after that. So I want to read you something, because this whole thing of reflecting, DL, when you take the abhorrent practices associated with perversion, homosexuality, and then when you try to expose it, like you said, you put your finger on it, it's so gross that they know that the mere discussion of it brings everybody down.
Right.
And so what they do is they use the incredibly perverse practices, rimming, which is, mouth anal sex,
right,
fisting, and sex toys, all these things that are practiced by many homosexual men, they use that against it. And I want to say, DL, have you ever heard of the case of Jesse Durkheising?
Oh, absolutely. I wrote about Jesse Durkheising back in July of 2005. It was one of the most shocking murder cases that has ever happened in this country. But the mainstream media, of course, which is very pro-homosexual, barely covered it at all. But it's a shocking, shocking case involving this 13-year-old boy who was murdered by two homosexual men who, after sexually abusing him, ate sandwiches while he lay on the floor dying in front of them.
That's right. And I asked Patrick Wooden, who is highly informed, if he had heard of him before the interview, and Patrick hadn't even heard of it. This happens again and again. Everybody in the world knows about Matthew Shepard, who was a homosexual victim. Hardly anybody knows about Jesse Durkheising. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to read from the affidavit. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to D.L. Foster and Patrick Wooden. Our website is americansfortruth.org. Welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in our last segment, and D.L. just did an apt description of Jesse Durkheising, who was this poor boy, 13 years old, who was accused. He was left for dead. I'm going to read from the affidavit, and then I want you to comment. And many people are not aware of this because, of course, as DL said, it was the homosexual two men, Davis Don Carpenter and Joshua McCavey Brown, were the killers. Carpenter was 38. Brown was 22. This poor boy, Jesse Durkheising, his mom, I believe it was a single mom, she let him hang out with a couple of gay guys, okay? And they were, unfortunately for her and for him, these homosexual men were into sadomasochism, the perverse practices. Here's from the affidavit. Brown, who is that's the older man, 38 years old, Joshua McCavey Brown. Brown positioned Durkheising, Jesse Durkheising, this young 13-year-old boy. Brown positioned Durkheising on his stomach, placing pillows under his stomach. Brown then proceeded to penetrate Durkheising's anus with various items, including three fingers of his hand, his penis, a cucumber, a sausage, a banana, and a douche bottle. Brown stated at one point he prepared and administered an enema for the victim, using his own urine as the liquid. Brown then positioned a cucumber so that it was slightly penetrated Durkheising's anus and secured it with tape. And then the boy was found, I believe, DL, I can't remember. I think he was he was gagged with his own underwear.
Yes, it was.
This case did not get any attention because had the media covered this case, it would have not only focused on this terrible politically incorrect victim, but the awful practices that are practiced by the most perverted members of our society.
Right. You know, Jesse Dierkhuizen didn't fit the bill. He wasn't a gay martyr like Matthew right. Shepard. In the wake of Jesse Dierkhuizen's death, you heard nothing from GLAAD. You heard no words, there was no outrage. There was no shock. There were no candlelight vigils. There was nothing. There was not a peep from this homosexual rights movement that goes up in all this manufactured rage when a gay kid is killed or murdered. But here is this young man in such a vicious, brutal, unmentionable way, innocent 13-year-old boy, but they have no love for him. There's no sorrow for him. There's no press conferences and no releases and nothing for him.
No
but
movie.
Matthew Shepard fit the bill. They needed someone to advance their cause. And that's one of the problems with the gay community. These people are expendable to them. All they need you for is to advance their cause, and then they move on. And it is a very sad testament that the media is in cahoots and has blood on their hands from the deaths of these young people to simply advance a cause for people to be able to legalize all of these different sex acts that you just mentioned, to bring this into the public, to the public forefront. And this is why we must speak out against it. This is why homosexuals do not want you talking about their behavior. They only want you to talk about their love and their long-term partnerships and all these types of things. But God talks about your behavior. He always talks about sin in the context of your behavior. So no matter if you are consenting or not, if you commit the behavior, you have then committed the act that is outside of his will. And that is where we need to keep the pressure at. So many of these so-called conservatives and so-called Republicans have crossed over to the other side, and now they are taking up this cause. But we need to make sure, especially men of God, need to make sure that we are speaking what the Lord has said in the context he said it. And, you know, I, for one, am tired of trying to defend whether or not I love people. I love everybody because I don't want to go to hell.
Mm,
but my love for people compels me, it constrains me to speak truth.
Yes.
Because I know that if I don't speak truth, their blood will be called for at my hand. And I'm not going to be accountable to God for not speaking what I know to be truth.
Let me make a point about this whole scene. And that was very eloquently stated, DL. But the Jesse Dierkhuizen case, do you think these men got this idea out of a vacuum? When I wrote about in our publication, which is called Lambda Report, it was the publication we had that I started before Americans for Truth. It was a printed newsletter. In covering this Jesse Dierkhuizen story, I wrote about there's a book called SM 101, in which the writer says S&M has, quote, SM has been a matter of intense interest among gay men. It talks about a book called Leather Sex Q&A, which discusses the sodomitic use of vegetables and fruits and cucumbers and a frozen banana in these practices. In other words, perversion begets perversion.
Yeah,
that's what it does, Patrick. You would expect in a movement that's built upon sin, the idea that two men can be in a sexual relationship, you would expect that movement to beget other awful practices like this.
Yes, it is demonic, and that is the truth, and that is the truth that they do not want to get out. And just as DL said, and I don't think you can add to what his comments. I pray that more Christians take up arms and begin to speak the truth. And we don't do this for shock value. This is not for ratings. This is not. Someone said to me, says, "Man, you're getting famous." No, we're not doing it for popularity.
We're getting
right. slammed and lampooned and lambasted. That's not the point. It's not the goal. The goal is people got to hear the other side. We are equal time with regard to this issue. Peter LaBarbera is equal time. If it were not for this ministry, this broadcast, and ministers like ourselves and others, the other side of the story would not be told.
Yeah.
The media is not going to tell it, and many religious movements, many preachers have, I don't know what has happened to them, and just gone the other way. They won't speak the truth. And as an African American, again, I don't want to make this a black and white issue, but I see every day what has happened in our community as a result of our losing fathers and the demise and the diminishing of this, the traditional two-parent home. And so, and as I see African-American women getting AIDS at a faster rate than any other group of women in America, it compels me. I'm trying to find a stronger.
That doesn't happen very often.
I have no choice to speak out. Do you see what I'm saying? Patrick Wooden, speechless on an issue such as this. But we have no choice but to speak to it. And it and love of God and love of mankind, and we got to throw this in here, love of country, motivates us to say these things, because we're looking at the potential demise of America as we know it.
Yeah, and a media that does not tell the truth allows this perversion to spread, and I'm worried that young people get involved. DL, you got 35 seconds. The fact is, these practices are heinous, but the fact is, there are people who celebrate them in the homosexual and the heterosexual community. They are popularizing these awful practices.
Right.
Right, and they're moving, and they're encouraging young people at the young people at earlier ages, 11, 12 years old, to so-called come out. They're coming out and into these deadly practices where their very lives are at stake. It's in our best interest to tell young people the truth and give them a choice, at least to properly inform them about what all this coming out is all about, because they're not going to be told the truth by homosexual activists.
Yeah, and I would say to the homosexual world, take ownership of your perversion. This is, nobody makes up. These behaviors came out of that sin. And
right.
And to try to put them on us just because we're trying to expose them is itself a hateful thing to do. Thank you both, you guys. I really enjoyed it. God bless. And then we'll be back next week. Talk to you soon.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.